Welcome, everybody. We are on our final module, Module 7, Beyond the Marriage, Kids, In-Laws, and Other People Who Didn't Take Your Vows. As we say that, we just did a show on your vows, which was awesome. And I'm going to add that link here to our other resources if you haven't heard that one yet. It is fantastic, and it's really about remembering what it was like on that day when you said your vows and being able to look at those vows again and really say them now, wherever you're at, and say those again. So we will put that in the resource for you guys. It's a great show. We just recently did that one. So we're going to start there. Do we have any wins from you guys? If so, throw them in the chat. If you want to do that there, we can do some wins there in the chat. I think we got some folks still rolling in here since it is a day later than we typically do. Mm-hmm. So let's start with wins. If you got them, put them in there. If you have your questions, we definitely want to get to your questions. You know, because talking about your marriage and then everybody else that is vying for your attention can be really tough at times. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when you guys are working together, really building a solid base. You know, this is what we've been really developing all throughout Rescue My Marriage today, between your communication, your recreational intimacy, your physical intimacy and sexual intimacy, your financial intimacy. Each and every one of those is about you guys. And what we really dive into here in Module 7 is all of those people and all of those others that are really trying to attack you, even when you're working so hard. And so,
well, and some of them aren't even people that are actually consciously attacking your marriage. I mean, like your kids, especially when they're younger, they aren't born and are like, okay, let's see how quickly we can drive the two of them apart. I mean, that's not something that kids come out and say. But their interaction with you, your interaction with each other as a result of dealing with the kids and all that kind of stuff, it does drive you away. You know, families are the same way. A lot of times families don't even realize the impact that they're having on your marriage, because it's like, we've always done it this way until you got married, and now you're married, and so why is this a problem now? And so, you know, those are in a lot of instances kind of the incidental impacts, whereas you have those that are more purposeful, and that I would specifically refer to any of the emotional infidelity, the physical infidelity, or pornography. I would even put into the more purposeful things that, you know, come into your marriage that are, you know, beyond the marriage, you know, those things that aren't, you know, somebody that's like involved in your family type of thing. And so, you know, those are a more conscious decision, right? I had a conversation with a wife today on a coaching call, and you know, she's like, Elisa, you know, the emotional connection with this other person, it just kind of happened. And I said, well, let's back up, because I don't really believe it just kind of happened. And as we started unpacking it, a lot of it was the fact that she wasn't feeling cherished in her own marriage. She wasn't feeling noticed in her marriage. She wasn't feeling appreciated. And, you know, so when this other man started to pay her attention, she's like, you know, it's kind of nice.
Right?
Like, this feels good. It's nice that somebody notices me. It's nice that, it's nice to just be seen and be heard, and I can have a conversation, and it's not, you know, bouncing around all over the place or talking about the bills or talking about the kids. And so what we unpacked was that there were things that her husband needed to have been doing in the marriage and things that she had stopped doing. And, you know, what I told her and what I tell everyone when there are, you know, other people involved in your marriage who didn't take the vows, is that, you know, you both have responsibility there. Right? It's not all one person's responsibility to fix the marriage. Just like we've been saying throughout Rescue My Marriage today, both of you have a responsibility to get actively involved in the process.
Yeah.
And actively involved in cutting out all of those people that don't belong in there.
Yeah. And, you know, throw in the chat, I mean, for you guys in your marriage, you know, who has come in between you at times that has caused frustration, a wedge even between you guys? you know, share that in the chat because we'd like to hear from you guys. I mean, for us, you know, when our kids were younger, and even now, sometimes when they're older, they definitely cause that wedge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were at an event last night, and it was really fun to be there. And yet we got to talk to so many couples. And during each of our conversation, a lot of them were like, well, the kids. And, you know, we just had to share, and I did personally had to share with the number of them, just like, I get it. You love your kids. I love my kids too. And yet, if we don't pay attention to what we're doing in our marriage, like all the stuff you guys have been doing throughout Rescue My Marriage today, all that is so vital, because if we're not doing that continuously, looking at it, nurturing each other, romancing each other, you know, kids are going to go away. Like, hopefully they
grow
leave.
Up and leave your home.
You know, we've said this before, and we don't want you to be there after, you know, 18, 19, 20, 25 years of marriage, your kids are gone and you're looking at each other going, who are you? And I don't know if any of you have had friends that have gone through that, maybe your own age, like their parents divorced. I did. I had a very good friend of mine who I grew up with. I knew him since I was in kindergarten, 5 years old. And he was 2 years older than me, is 2 years older than me. And I remember his sister, he's 2 years older, his sister is a year behind me. And I remember after his sister graduated, it wasn't more than a year that his parents got divorced. And I'll tell you, even he was at that age, 21, still was just wrecked. And I just remember just having long conversations with him when we would get back together, when we'd come home from college, or we'd see each other at our campuses. So, you know, when we're talking about other people and other things that get in the way, kids are one of them. And hey, you can raise your hand and say that is happening. Doesn't mean you don't love them.
Right.
Doesn't mean you don't love them and cherish them and want to do things with them. It's just being truthful and honest that, hey, they've taken space. They're taking too much.
Mm-hmm. So I want to mention a couple things. One, if you didn't get a chance to see it, there's an article that I posted. I can't remember if it was last night or this morning. And the title of the article is How I Saved My Marriage. And there's a line out of there that I really wanted to bring to everyone's attention, because it was written from the perspective of a husband whose marriage was literally crumbling around him to the point that he was on a business trip and, you know, his wife hangs up on him and he's just at the end of his rope. And he's just like, you know, this isn't working. And he makes a comment in there about the fact that, you know, he's crying out to God and he says, I don't understand why this is happening, right? She's a good person and I'm a good person. So why can't we have a good marriage?
Right.
Right? And, you know, as he's sitting there, he's just wrecked, emotionally, physically spent. And it really becomes this whole point of, you know, the realization, as we've said many, many times in Rescue My Marriage today, that you can't be looking at your spouse and saying, you need to change this. Tony's just putting up the link right now. So you guys will have the article. You can see it there. And, you know, the message that he felt he was receiving from God was you need to change. Like, you need to step up and do things differently. And so what this husband started doing, he woke up the next morning and he asked his wife, what can I do to make your day better? And this was a couple that was literally like barely speaking to each other. If they did speak to each other, just hostile and mean. And
yeah, they're definitely on the verge.
They were on the verge. And so she responds and she's like, clean the kitchen, right? Like, just basically the translation is get out of my face, but go clean the kitchen. And so he's like, okay. And so he gets up and he cleans the kitchen and then goes about his day. And so the next day he gets up again and I love it because he asks her again and she says, clean the garage. And he's like, my immediate reaction, because I knew she was saying it out of spite, was to, you know, just turn on it. But I made this commitment that I was going to ask her every day, what can I do to make your day better? And I'm not going to ruin the rest of the story. There's not going to be a spoiler alert, but I want you guys to read that article, because those 9 words plus a question mark turned their marriage from being one of selfishness to one of selflessness and of serving. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times what we see and what we've experienced in our own marriage is that when things get really rocky, when things get tough, we tend to, you know, our selfishness selfishness gene like jumps into overdrive. Like, I want what I want when I want it. And I know I've said that before in Rescue My Marriage Today, but when he changed those 9 words, what can I do to make your day better? It made all the difference, because he wasn't doing it with the expectation that she was suddenly going to have this amazing epiphany and be like, you are the most amazing husband ever, right? Like, it wasn't going to be this, like, let's flip a switch and we've got the happy marriage and it's all better. And it wasn't like, well, I'm going to do this for her so that she needs to do something for me, right? There was no scorekeeping involved. It was just, I'm going to ask my wife, or, you know, wives, ask your husband on a daily basis, what can I do to make your day better? And the transformation that happened as a result of those 9 words is really nothing short of a miracle in their life. And I think what it tells us is that when we step out of where we're at, and that's really where a lot of this, you know, beyond the marriage, who are those other people that we've allowed into our lives, right? Where, you know, where have we stepped out? Like, we need to step back into our marriages. And we need to put those guardrails up around other people. We need to put that serving heart back into our relationships, because I will tell you that when you're just doing what you've been asked, you know, what can I do to serve you today? What can I do to make your day better? And your spouse gives you something, whether it's said out of spite or whether it's said, you know, out of love, then you just go and do it. And they're like, okay, you know, he listened, she listened. So I wanted to make sure, like I said, Tony put it up in the chat there. Mm-hmm. If you haven't had a chance to read it, if you're listening to the replay, it's on the Facebook page. We're not going to take it down. I think it's a great article. I found it through somebody else's Facebook page. And
yeah, and somebody actually even shared it with me during the day. I had one or two people tag me on that. And it's like, hey, check this out.
So it's making the rounds right now. It's one of those article pieces that's going to go viral. And I did want to share, we did get a question emailed into us. This is written from a wife, and she says, my husband craves physical touch, and that's all he craves. If we get a morning free with no kids, instead of talking and having coffee, he wants sex. We haven't talked in days. Instead of talking last night, I knew I had to fulfill my obligation or I'd be in trouble. I did this knowing it would be physically painful because I've had cramps all week, but didn't want to hear about what I don't do and how often I don't do it. Another example, you know, sometimes I'm gone all day with the kids, and when I come home and just pour a glass of wine, I'm hoping we'd chat, but then, you know, he takes off and goes and does something else. Why am I supposed to change and meet his physical needs and sexual needs when he doesn't give me what I need? What are your suggestions? And, you know, there are a number of things going on in this, and one, you know, kind of goes back to what I was just saying, you know, what can I do to make your day better? Mm-hmm. Right? There are needs on both sides of the marriage that need to be fulfilled. And it's a matter of meeting both the physical and the emotional needs. It's, you know, there's a lot going on here. And I've obviously, I mean, you guys saw me looking down. I've left out, you know, key points or key identifiers to keep that anonymous. But
Well, I was going to say, you know, let's go back through. I just want to read the titles for each of our modules, so that way you guys, you know, when we're talking about, you know, what Elisa was reading there, what can I do to make your day better? You know, we have these modules, Beyond Words, The Power of Connecting Through Emotional Intimacy. And the first thing that comes to my mind is like, okay, as a couple, let's go through that again, right? Let's go through that together, because definitely she is wanting that emotional connection right there. You know, in module 2, you know, more love, less conflict, how to open up honest communication for a stronger marriage. Again, that's our emotional intimacy. So let's go through this together again. Let's print out those worksheets again. Did we do it half-heartedly the first time through? You know, were we just sort of placating and not really thinking about it and just trying to breeze our way through it? You know, everything is here now. So go through them again.
Well, another thing that I want to add to that is that, you know, there was one comment in here. She says, you know, sometimes I'll pour a glass of wine hoping we'd chat. And, you know, that kind of goes back to ESP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? You know, and maybe it's been said, like, I don't have all the details because I haven't worked with this couple one-on-one, so I don't know all of the layers. But, you know, let's have a conversation. Look, if I pour, you know, when you first come in, if I've got a glass of wine poured, I'd love to sit down and just hear about your day or have you ask me about my day, right? Like, let's build that emotional connection and let's start it with, you know, here, if you see a glass of wine on the counter, that means let's talk, right? Instead of hoping and wishing that he'd read your mind and go, oh, glass of wine. Okay, maybe he's just thinking, and rightfully or wrongfully, he's just thinking, my wife's having a glass of wine. Okay, I'm going to go do my own stuff. Mm-hmm. Right?
And so on, I was going to say, and on the other side, you know, if your spouse needs that emotional connection, so husbands, I've learned this with Elisa. She needs that emotional connection. She needs that time to talk, download, use up her words, whatever you want to call it. And this can go either way. This isn't just for women. I mean, there are guys that we know who just want to connect emotionally to then be sexually intimate. If that's your wife, then you definitely need to spend some time in going, okay, what ways can we connect, you know, emotionally? Mm-hmm. You know, and I know for many of you, if it's just like me, we tend to get tired of hearing about the kids, tired of hearing about the schoolwork. I'm sort of tired of hearing about the banter between this person and that person or whatever's going on. And so we got to break through that. We got to break through that layer. I mean, that might be a portion of it. Like, hey, cool. You want to just let me know how the day went. I get it. But after that, you know, if you want to go deeper into how we're going to connect. I mean, that's why we wrote our book, Connect Like You Did When You First Met. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 101 questions, plus we add 50 other questions. So you have 151 questions to actually go, hey, honey, can you pick a question and just, you know, how do you want to talk about this stuff so we can connect emotionally? And not, because I think after a while, man, we hear the same things and we tend to start tuning out. Believe me, I've been there before. I've tuned out Elisa where it's just like, I don't want to hear this again. And it's having to be able to just go, hey, hun. And we're at a good place now. You know, I can share and I can go, hey, I've heard that before. Or you've already covered that. So is there more details that you need to fill me in on? Or is it in a place where there's no resolution yet to fill me in on? Which I know we've done before, where mm-hmm. it's just sort of like, okay, I'd rather just hang out with you and not hear that. But really being able to go, okay, where are we going to talk? Where are we going to emotionally connect together? This is one of the biggest things that Elisa and I found out through our 7 days of sex challenge was really being able to connect emotionally, because that's where she felt like I was not giving her any, or the 60 days of sex challenge, I should say. I wasn't giving her any room to just allow her to speak. It was just more like, hey, let's just have sex. Because I honestly, at that point in time in our marriage, was sex starved. There was none. And once I figured out to go, okay, share with me what's going on. Once she was able to get into that rhythm, that's when we really were able to go, okay, your needs are being satisfied, you know, and my needs are being satisfied to the sexual intimacy. Lo and behold, as we do that more and we learn more, we're both being satisfied. I want to hear about her day. I want to hear about what's going on, and vice versa. She enjoys sex. So, and it goes back and forth.
And it's, you know, again, we've said throughout Rescue My Marriage Day that if you guys are facing challenges that, you know, you haven't been able to find a resolution to, it might be time to consider a coaching strategy session. You can, you know, go to the site and just put in code. Is it just RMMT?
I think so.
Yeah. RMMT. And that's going to get you your discount, because we want to make sure, you know, just like for this couple and for other couples that I've worked with, you know, throughout the program, that there are just other things that maybe don't come across in an email mm-hmm. that, right. you know, totally other true. Patterns of behavior that when we start actually having the conversation, it's kind of like when you guys, you know, chime in on chat and you're like, oh, what about this? And what about that? That all of a sudden those layers start getting peeled back, and then we can come up with a really effective strategy for the two of you, as opposed to, you know, sometimes we get those people like, hey, can you just give me an email response? And I'm like, honestly, I can't, because it would be a disservice to you. I don't have all the facts, and what might fit, you know, somebody over here isn't going to necessarily fit this couple over here. So I don't want to underserve you. Mm-hmm. Really, and that's not where we come from. We come from a place of excellence in everything that we do. And so in order to do that, I got to actually like talk to you.
Right.
So if there's more for this couple, if you're listening, if there's more to this and we need to dig deeper, then consider a strategy session to really go farther into that.
Right.
So guys, as you were going through module 7, Beyond the Marriage, talking about kids and parents and friends and all, you know, all those other people and things, that get in the way of your marriage. I want to know, what were some of the revelations? Go ahead and type it in the chat, some of the revelations that you had, or aha moments, or just things that you hadn't really considered or found difficult to even discuss. Mm-hmm. Because I know we've had those times in our marriage where discussing friends or family has not been so easy.
And hey, one of those is coming up right now. Next week, we leave for Peru for our 20th anniversary. And my folks are watching the kids while we're gone for our trip. And so I'm talking to my dad yesterday. And I'm like, okay, Dad, you know, we're taking off on Sunday. And we need to be in LA for a 3 o'clock flight. So why don't we meet up halfway on Saturday, which is usually what we do. They're about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes away from us. Why don't we meet up halfway on Saturday and we'll drop off the kids and you guys go. And he goes, well, why don't you guys just come all the way up here, hang out for the morning, have lunch, and then go home? I'm thinking, okay, well, that should work. Let me go check. Lo and behold, I call Lisa and she already has a bridal shower.
Baby
shower set for that day. That starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So, you know, what do we do? Now we have to have this discussion,
which we'll be doing after Rescue My Marriage today.
Yeah. We have to have this discussion and going, okay, what are we going to do? Are you going to, you know, tell the baby shower folks, hey, I can't make it. You know, are you going to try to come up for a little bit? Are you going to do a quick turnaround? What are we going to do? And so even us going on our 20th anniversary, you know, we have to have this discussion because, you know, personally for myself, I'm like, you know, the folks are watching the kids for a week and we're going to be out of the country where they can't really contact us. My parents can't really contact us. And I'm sure they just want to see us.
I'm laughing right now because we totally hadn't planned. At least I hadn't planned on having this conversation on the air. But you can see how those kind of things start to happen, right? You know, what are our expectations? What? Because I will tell you, I had cleared with you going to that baby shower prior to saying yes, knowing that it was the day before we were leaving and things like that. So, you know, having this conversation, just understanding where he's coming from and going, okay, you know what? Trying to squeeze this in the day before I leave, as much as I'd like to go, might not be the right thing to do. Might not be the right thing to do, you know, not just for Tony and his parents, but also for the kids. Even though I'm like, I really want to go to the baby shower. But, you know, we'll put a post exactly how we resolve this because we're not gonna take your time to fully talk through this right now. But, you know, were there questions? If you guys have got questions that you don't want to put in the chat, you guys know you can always use the Q&A. But, you know, talking about family and, you know, recognizing, you know, who are those people who are supportive? Who are those people that aren't supportive? Who are those people that you just need to keep at arm's length and say, you know what, my sister, my brother, my mom? I mean, we hear a lot about moms specifically kind of keeping their noses a little bit more in the marriage, you know, when their kids get married and trying to exercise a little more authority. And being a mom, I totally get it. But I also know that, you know, by the time, I think especially for Alex, by the time Alex finds someone, he's going to be so in love, there isn't going to be room for me. But I know she's going to be well-loved because he loves his mom. You know, and I see Abby has the same kind of relationship that, you know, she'll come to us. But I don't think either one of our kids are going to be like, hey, let's talk about your marriage. I think they're both going to be like, we're married. And I remember Tony's mom specifically when we got married. After she said, you know, first she said, I'd like you to call us mom and dad now. And I said, okay, you know, that's a little bit nicer than Mr. and Mrs. DiLorenzo. And, but she really kind of laid down the expectation from the very get-go. And she made it easy for me to go, okay, you know, Tony's parents are going to be here and we're going to be here. And there have been times when that line's gotten a little blurry, but you know, they've made it easy. And I know not all families do that because my family's a little more difficult as far as that goes. But remember that the two of you are the primary relationship. So then, you know, we talked about friends.
And friends can have a huge influence us, right? I mean, how many of you have been, you know, with friends and you're just like, wow, that is so much better or so much nicer, or I just don't even have to deal with what's happening at home. It's an escape, right? I mean, we get to just go away. And so friends can be a huge pull on us. And we have to really recognize that. Are they worth having?
And you know, it's thinking about what's going on in their lives too, mm-hmm. and keeping them, keeping that in perspective. I know just from some of the clients that I've worked with over the years that, like in our case, Tony and I were the first couple out of our group of friends to get married. So everybody we were hanging out with, were still single. And they were couples,
but they hadn't taken that step yet. Yeah, they hadn't been engaged.
Right? And you know, as I talk to other folks and learn about their friends and things like that, you know, a lot of times your friends unknowingly start to influence your marriage. Mm-hmm. If they're single and they're like, oh, I can do whatever I want. I can do this and I can do that. And I'm going here and I'm going to the club. And you're like, oh, that sounds so nice. Well, let me tell you something. The dating scene, as I hear, as you know, it's just yuck. It's a lot more, you know, it's a lot more complicated now than it was when any of us got married. And it just gets more and more complicated with all the different apps and swipes and likes and Tinder and Tumblr, whatever. I'm like, some of those probably aren't even dating apps. But all that to say is, don't even go there, right? Your marriage needs to have friends around it that are supportive of marriage, that aren't saying, hey, just because you're having trouble with your husband or your wife, let's go do this instead. It'll be much more fun. It'll take your mind off of it. Well, if that's not going to support your marriage, like if they're saying, hey, let's go to a bar, or let's go to a strip club, or let's, you know, go whatever, that's not good.
Yeah.
And if anything in your being says, ooh, I don't know if I want my spouse to find out that I'm doing this with my friend, don't do it. It's a very simple rule of thumb.
And the other, another thing too is, you know, what happens when you open up your home to friends to stay? Mm-hmm. What happens when you open up your home to family? And sometimes it's family because they're in a position right now that you want to help them out. You know, these are all good causes. We're not going to say that they're not. I mean, to help a friend in need, you know, to help a family member in need. Some of you may be getting of age where, you know, mom or dad has passed away, you know, and the other one is now, you know, getting to an age where you don't know if you want them at home anymore. And you may be considering like, you know, are we going to bring mom or dad in? Mm-hmm. You know, these are big things that we don't take lightly. And yet you have to be able to set up boundaries. You got to be able to set up the framework. So that way, as mom worsens, you know, or dad worsens, or the friend who you said, hey, it's cool if you stay, continues to stay. And you notice that, wow, you know, they're starting to cause some issues here. Mm-hmm. You know, someone needs to stand up. Someone needs to go, hey, we got to resolve this. You know, what are we doing? Especially in the friend situation, mom who's getting older, that's completely different. And each one of us is going to face that most likely at some point in time. And each one of us are going to face it differently, right? Because we're all going to be in different circumstances. You know, I think about that as my folks get older. And again, they're only, you know, an hour and 45 minutes away. What does that look like? You know, if dad passes away before mom is most likely going to live with either us or my brother and his wife. Because I just don't see mom living out her life alone in the home that I grew up in. Mom passes away before dad. That's a whole nother story, man. My dad has said he'd go back to Italy and live out his days in Italy. So those are things that Elise and I have talked about. They're not, you know, set in stone because we're not there yet. But those are things that you guys need to think about as well. You know, if you've had that friend who is in the home and it's guys, you know, gals, time to stand up. I mean, it's your marriage. I love your friends. I love my friends. And yet when they start impeding on my space and my marriage and what we got going on, then it's time to say, hey, I got it, but it's time for you to, you know, to move on, you know, find another home to hang out at or get a job and go rent a place or something. Right. You know, you gotta love on them, but at the same time, gotta keep moving.
Okay, so Jeremy may have put in regarding guardrails with the opposite sex. Bob and Audrey Meisner have an amazing testimony in ministry around that. They're lifetime Christians who are high profile pastors. Her parents even had a Christian television show. She was the last person who would ever be caught having an affair, but she did. And it started out as a really innocent friendship with a guy at church, and suddenly she found herself engaged in a sexual affair. She says it completely shocked her, so if it can happen to them, it can happen to us.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, Jeremy and May, you bring up a really good thing there about guardrails and about setting those guardrails as soon as possible. Right. Mm-hmm. Don't wait until something has happened to go, oh, well, I don't want you having lunch with somebody, a member of the opposite sex, or you can't do that, or you can't do it now. Do it now. And you're right. The second you have that thought. Yeah. Because here's the thing, you know, we didn't have guardrails early on in our marriage.
Right.
That's why we're so adamant about couples having guardrails. Like, we didn't sit down and say, what's it going to look like? I mean, we're so old that we're like pre-social media.
We're not that old.
We're pre-social
media. Pre-social media. I still look good for my age.
He looks amazing.
I'll even say this too. When it comes to friends, Alisa and I are in an awesome community right now. I feel that where we are in our lives is a fantastic place. With that, though, comes a lot of folks wanting our attention. And that can be from online people emailing us, but even in our own community here, we have a lot of opportunities to go places or be at events or, you know, hang out with this couple or go do that thing with all the women or me go do all this thing with the guys. And, you know, to tell you the truth, there are times when we just say no. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, we can't do everything. We can't be everywhere. We can't get in that spot where we're so worn out and so run down that we can't even drag ourselves to bed. And so even us, where we're at, we're very aware of what's going on. And sometimes we just have to say no to certain people, certain things, certain events, because it would take away from each other. And we're just aren't willing to do that.
That little comment about both still being very young.
Sure,
I do just want to say that somebody has a birthday tomorrow. He does.
Yes.
Somebody in this couple, some husband in this couple has a birthday tomorrow, so he'll be just a little bit older tomorrow. It's only 18 days when we're 2 years apart. But guardrails are important.
Yeah.
Sit down and set them. And be willing to listen to each other about the guardrails, because it's one of those things where what may seem bothersome to you, like, you know, case in point, a few years ago, we were in a situation where, you know, there was a woman that was wanting to spend more time with Tony, and it was completely innocent. But my radar went literally completely haywire. I'm like, this does not feel right to me. This is making me completely uncomfortable. Like, I'm freaking out.
And here's the situation there. My buddy, who I cycled with a ton. I mean, we did.
Like every weekend.
Every weekend.
Long rides.
For years. We spent tons of time together and in cycling. And he ended up getting killed. He was just out riding one afternoon and a car flipped over and it killed him instantly. So the person Alisa is talking about is his wife, who in that moment was needy, who wanted it, who deserved that attention of us. And yet at the same time, Alisa was still like, whoa, let's, you know, we're moving past that phase. I just want you to be aware, watch out. I just want you to know that this is what's going on with me. And, you know, I respected that. And so that's something that, you know, I had to listen and hear, because I do value what she senses and what she sees. You should still respect that, though, right?
Yes. Yes, you should. Because it doesn't happen very often. I mean, I think that's probably the only time in 20 years where I've just been like, absolutely not. Like, circuits are going haywire. This is not going to happen. But there have been other times, you know, where with Facebook messages, I will tell you that anytime I get like any kind of weird Facebook message, I'll immediately tell Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And vice versa. He's like, yeah, I got, you know, somebody tried to friend me today. I'm like, whatever, delete. So those are those kinds of things that you want to open up the conversation when things aren't horrible so that you can lay the groundwork then instead of finding yourself in a place of crisis and then going, okay, we need to set up all these rules. And then it just feels like,
Right.
So, but moving through the worksheets, the next one was conversations with our children or child. And, you know, I'm seeing this play out because I've got a number of couples that I'm working with outside of the group, who are potentially going through divorces. And, you know, now we're starting to say, okay, well, if it's going to go down like that, how are you going to have the conversations with the children? What conversations do you need to have with the kids? And that's where, you know, not only having the guardrails with how the children influence the marriage, but also how do you handle the difficult conversations? And I will tell you, please do not use your children as pawns. Don't play them off one another. Don't badmouth your spouse. No matter your kids, if there are things going on, and you know, those of you that are in blended families and things like that, you will know this a little bit better. But if you ever badmouth your spouse, your kids will figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to figure out what their parents are like on their own. They don't need you to, you know, like, oh, you're, you know, I mean, if the kids ever hear me say something like gripey about Tony, they'll just look at me and like, seriously, mom, like, you're just going to kiss him when we get home. And I'm like, good point. Because they know. Mm-hmm. Right. And so you want to be careful about the information that you're giving to your kids. And you want to be careful about how the two of you are presenting that information. Because if, you know, let's say financially, like when we were going through the short sale, that was information that Tony and I presented to the kids together.
Together.
It wasn't, well, your dad didn't work enough, so we're having to lose our house and it's all his fault. Right. I mean, I could, you know, we've had those emails come in, mm-hmm. you know, or, you know, your mom that year, I spent all the money at Christmas. Your mom spent all the money. So we can't go out to eat this month and we can't have cable and we can't do anything else because it's all your mom's fault. Tony didn't do that. He was just saying, you know what, kids, this is where we're at this month. And your mom and I have decided, because she spent all the money. No, he didn't say that. Your mom and I have decided that we're just going to cut back. And so it was, you know, it was one of those things where when the two of you start playing team together with your marriage presented to the kids, even if things aren't going well, it still gives them a level of security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, kids are tough. I'll tell you that. I mean, when we talk about this area, I mean, kids, I think, are one of the big ones that we continue to hear about, like we were saying at the top of the call. And you know, really being able to walk through that together is huge. Mm-hmm. One place, you know, we see where folks just get really just hurt is when, you know, the kids are allowed to bash on mom or dad. Mm. And, you know, and it just, the other parent just allows it to happen, you know, and that just hurts because honestly, in my opinion, they're kids and there is respect in the house. And if they cannot respect either one of you, either one of the parent, then, you know, they need to be reprimanded in what way that you deem right for how they've been treated. And we've had to do that in our own household. I mean, I've had to just, you know, stand up for Elisa, you know, because kids can definitely find mom's little chinks. And because they're around mom so much usually that they find those little chinks in the armor and they can just get in there. And I've had to, you know, step in and I'll play the, you know, the knight in shining armor and just be like, not going to happen. You know, you can scream at me all you want. You can yell at me all you want. You can call me names. I know you're angry. See you later. Get to your room. Not acceptable behavior. You know, don't come out here until you can write a letter explaining, you know, why you're sorry to your mother. And, you know, if you don't do that, Elisa has a coaching client right now where they have kids that have gone off to college. And you know what? That behavior has gone on for so long. The wife is, I mean, she's out on the last straw, you know, because he never stood up. He never stood up for her. And she's just beat down. She's tired. So, you know, if you got little ones, train them up so that they realize that there needs to be respect for each parent. And in blended families, it works the same way. It's just you're going to have a little more, you know, how are we going to make that work so that they understand your authority in the household now? Because you're the stepdad or you're the stepmom, you know? And so that's a fine line that you're going to have to walk within your family.
Absolutely. So can you guys address what to do when one spouse is using a child like a tool to hurt the other spouse? This happened with my ex when Cole was little, and occasionally now happens with his stepmother.
I see what you're saying.
We've seen this happen numerous times, and you know, part of it is going and, you know, saying, let's have a conversation like adults, right? You know, this is our son, and you know, if you've got something that you need to say, come and say it to me, right? He doesn't need to be our messenger. He doesn't need to hear all of the stuff that we might say to one another. And I remember we were at a party a few years ago talking to a couple who was a blended family. They were both married previously with kids previously. And what they ended up doing, because there was quite a bit of acrimony between the spouses, is that the husband dealt with his wife's ex-husband and the wife dealt with her husband's ex-wife. It was this really kind of an interesting thing, but because there was no emotional tie to the other person, they just dealt with them. So that this way, you know what? It's like, let's just like, just tell me what you need, right? And we'll get it done. As opposed to all of the emotional baggage that exes carry. And so, you know, partly it's having a conversation with them as adults, and then potentially collectively having a sit down with Cole and saying, you know, honey, here's the deal. We all love you. Explaining that adults make mistakes, because one of the most mature things that we can do as parents is acknowledge our mistakes in front of our children, acknowledge our mistakes to our children and ask for their forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Letting them know that we don't always get it right, because there are definitely times when I've screwed up. There are definitely times, you know, probably fewer, but when Tony screwed up. And you know, when we can apologize to our kids, what it does is it sets the foundation for them to see that adults make mistakes and they can apologize for that. So again, if one spouse is using the child as a tool, let's try and have adult conversations. And if the adults can't figure it out, then just, okay, hold on, let me read the rest of this. Especially a problem when he turns him into a messenger. But actually, I mean, more so with his time. Sometimes the new wife will change Cole's schedule at the last minute and completely disregard our custody agreement. So I'll be looking forward to Cole, but suddenly I don't get to see him because she uses loopholes in our agreement. I would say if there are loopholes in your agreement, it's time to firm that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if she's using that and she's being, you know, in that case, she's being completely disrespectful of what
of your time,
of what, and what you and your ex have agreed to.
Yeah.
And so that's something that needs to be, if you have loopholes, unfortunately with custodial arrangements, close them.
Yeah.
Close them, because that will only continue. And as he gets older and gets into more activities, it's going to be easier to really exploit those loopholes. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, is there anything I can do to protect my relationship with Cole? Again, have conversations with him. I mean, children are incredibly observant. They're incredibly aware. And so that really goes to that sheet that we did on, you know, conversations with our children. What do we need to discuss? So letting Cole know that sometimes the schedule gets adjusted at the last minute, and it has nothing to do with your desire not to see him, but really with, you know, unexpected things that come up. And, you know, kids know that unexpected things come up. You know, and so again, framing it so that the adults are still respected, even though you might not feel that way. You might not feel like giving anything to suggest that try and communicate with his dad. Let him know that, you know, we have this custodial agreement.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, we hammered this out. And that when these changes happen at the last minute, it's hard on Cole, because I'm sure he's expecting to come home at a certain time or to see you or that kind of thing. And you know, if we need to make changes, then, you know, these aren't going to be last minute things, because it's hard on everybody. It's even hard on them, whether or not they admit it, it's even hard on them, because now all of a sudden, if they were expecting, I mean, we have lots of friends that are in blended families and custodial arrangements. And, you know, like if you're expecting to hand off the kids at 4 and something comes up, you're like, okay, now we got to make arrangements to do it at 6. And you know, even though we made the plans, we still got to like finagle on this side. So again, it's just like everything, you know, guys, everything that we've done in Rescue My Marriage today is not just about your marriage. Not just about the relationship that the two of you have. These skills will translate to any relationship you have. So, you know, with an ex, if you need to be intentional about the relationship, set up a time to talk and outline what you're going to talk about, right? Not like, hey, can we talk? Well, that's so open-ended. Who cares? Right? But I'd like to talk about the custodial agreement and how sometimes we get off track, right? Or, you know, you've got something at work and there's just somebody that you keep running up against. And you're like, why can't we get along? Why can't we get? Well, let's set up a time to talk. You know, when you do these behaviors, right? Remember, I feel fill in the blank when you do fill in the blank. What's the action, right? So you get to use these skills and you think about, okay, just because I'm not married to the person that I'm in conflict with, or just because I'm not married to the person I'm having a problem with, what are the skills that I've spent the last 8 weeks of my life learning that I can apply to this situation? And that's why you guys will have, you know, lifetime access to the modules, mm-hmm. right? They're not going to go away. We're going to, you know, after we wrap this up, you know, we're going to be working on revamping it and getting your feedback and that kind of stuff on ways to make it better. Mm-hmm. But, you know, don't worry about veering off topic because we are talking about other people,
right?
You know, beyond the marriage and how these skills are transferable to those relationships. Are there other questions though? Because I want to make sure.
Well, and you brought up a good one too. I mean, I didn't even think about this until you said it, but the, you know, people at work, mm-hmm. I mean, people at work that, did the video freeze? Good now. Okay, cool. You know, people at work can intrude. I mean, you know, you have a manager, you have a subordinate, you have board meetings, you have CEOs, depending on what level you're at in the organization, you have your own business mm-hmm. and you're having to, you know, put out fires, which, you know, causes you to be home late and miss, you know, the beginning of a movie or your date. You know, these are all pieces that add to, you know, others that get in your way. And so again, it's a lot of what Elisa's been talking about. I mean, this one is really, this module is really about giving you guys almost that 30,000 foot view and going, okay, who is it? Where is that? Where is that like pain point coming in? What's that, you know, stitch in my side that is constantly just bothering me? Mm-hmm. And do we need that, or do I need that person in my life any longer? You know, in a work situation, that's different. You know, we don't know, you know, your work situation. You may have to go to management and talk to them. You may be the manager and you have to deal with folks, whatever that may be. But realize that, you know, even myself, you know, dealing with clients, and Elisa as well, you know, dealing with clients, you know, they come into what's happening in our marriage. We talk about them, and sometimes we got to put the time out on it, you know, because mm-hmm. it's there's so much talk and you know, you just get tired of hearing that as well. And I'm not saying that you don't ever talk about it, and don't misconstrue that, folks. I'm just saying there are just times when we want to just go, I don't want to talk about any of that. I just want it to be us. Mm-hmm. And so if there's that person that you keep talking about and keep talking about and keep talking about, might be somebody that is having an impact on you and your marriage, and need to really consider what you do at that point in time. Mm-hmm. You know, and we can't give you that advice because we don't know the situation you're in, but really think about, okay, what's the action steps next? You know, I've had friends who've been in positions where they're just like, you know, it's just not worth it anymore. It's not worth my stress. It's not worth me missing out on my wife, my family, you know, and look for new work, you know?
Yeah. I mean, those are tough decisions that you sometimes mm-hmm. have to make. Can we talk about the best way to get past infidelity, which actually are the next three, mm-hmm. Well, actually, the kids in our marriage isn't one, but the that one we skipped over. Yeah, that's right. The emotional infidelity, the physical infidelity, and the impact of pornography.
Yeah,
there is no one best way to get past infidelity because it's going to look different for each one of you. What you've dealt with specifically, what the circumstances were. A couple of things in dealing with infidelity that I want to say here is, one, be careful what information you ask to know. And the reason I say that is, you know, just like we've said in other things where it's like, you know, if you tell your family things, they can't unknow it, right? Like that information is always going to be in your head. So I know it's a need of a lot of folks when they discover infidelity, when they discover pornography in their marriage, to go, okay, I want to know everything. Like, tell me everything. I'm not letting you get up off the couch until you tell me everything. Well, the fact of the matter is that there is infidelity. It's happened. That's probably really all the facts that your brain really, really wants to know. Because once you know what position or where or when it happened or all these details, like the lady I talked to last week on the phone, she said, she goes, our video cameras, our security cameras caught my husband. Mm. She's like, I can't ever not see what I saw. Too much information, right? TMI. So as you're, you know, that's always my first word of caution when somebody, you know, is in that place of going, okay, don't ask for all the details. It's not going to make you feel any better. Mm-hmm. And there's no point in the other person actually having to rehash what has happened, right? Like we all know it's there. You know, when you start getting on that path to rebuilding trust, and that's really when we're talking about the best way to get past infidelity, we're really talking about rebuilding trust. And I'm going to go into a little bit of it here, but Tony and I did an entire program called Trust Me, Restore, Renew, and Rebuild Your Foundation. And I mean, that's like, I don't know, it's like another, what, 6 modules mm-hmm. and, you know, all kinds of information. But one of the modules in there is all about the process that both the betrayer and the betrayed have to go through. And the reason that we included the process for both is that, like I've said so many times, we've said so many times throughout this program, is that the two of you don't find yourself at a point of infidelity because only one person made a bad decision, right? You find yourself at this point because things have continued to happen in your marriage that brought both of you, one of you to check out and one of you to, you know, do something else, or one of you to be neglectful and one of you to say, you know what, that person over there looks kind of nice. Right? Things have happened. And so there's responsibility. Now, did somebody ultimately make a really poor decision to go outside their marriage? Absolutely. Right? But it's one of a lot of poor decisions. I mean,
most people will see the outward sign mm-hmm. and point to the person and go, you know what? They screwed up. They did all this stuff. Unfortunately, there's much more behind all that. That there's definitely that root issue, and Elisa brought it up very well there, that both couples have done something in the marriage. One of them did take that step outside the marriage, but that's what everybody sees. What we don't go back to and look at it like, wow, where did all this start? Mm-hmm. You know,
infidelity is a symptom. It's right. Not, it's a symptom of the problems in your marriage. It's not the problem, right? And so many people, when infidelity is discovered, is like, well, that's the problem, right? You cheated on me. You did this, you did that. So it's a process of transparency. Yes, like I said, not all of the details, but of coming clean. It's a process of, you know, making a decision that the behavior is going to stop. And for the person that engaged in the infidelity, of, you know, figuring out what guardrails they need to have in place, what guardrails you both need to have in place for that action not to be continued, right? If it's changing passwords, if it's not going to the same gym anymore, if it's not having lunch with, you know, this person, whatever it is, right? Changing the phone number, you know, giving up all of your passwords, right? So that your spouse, I mean, like my phone sits on the counter, or Tony's phone sits on the counter. There's never a time when one of us can't pick up the phone. Like, I have nothing on my phone, right? And the reason I bring up the phone and the transparency around the phone is because, let's face it, guys, that's our outlet, that's our connection to the world, mm-hmm. right? If we're going to engage in infidelity, be it physical, emotional, or pornography, or anything like that, it's probably going to happen with the phone, right? So the phone has to be a place of transparency. It's a place of, you know, both of you listening to each other. Right. And about the hurts, about, you know, and you're going to ride the emotional, we call it the emotional roller coaster. because some days you're going to be like, oh, we're doing so good. And then you're going to hit a trigger. And triggers different for everybody. And we do a whole module on triggers or a whole section on triggers. And trust me, but you know, you're riding this and all of a sudden you get triggered and you're like, ah, oh,
yeah,
I just fell back. And so you keep, but what you have to understand is that rebuilding trust is not a, it's not a light switch thing. Right? The best way to get past infidelity, it's not like you walk into a room that was dark, you know, with all the infidelity and you turn on the light switch and yay, we're all better. It's more like, I'll give you an example of a husband gave me that I thought was brilliant. It was actually a couple where the husband had gone outside of the marriage and he said, you know, Lisa, when this first happened, it was like, and we made the decision to work on our marriage. He said, it was like we were in a boat. And you know, when you toss a bottle over the side of the boat, it just kind of keeps like, imagine the sound of it just like slapping up against the boat because the waves just keep hitting it into the boat, hitting it into the boat. And he's like, and it was just like constantly there. And it would just, you know, like it'd be quiet for a little while and then it would slap up against the boat. He said, and as we've gone through this process and the process they went through actually became the foundation for Rescue My Marriage today. Mm-hmm. As they went through the process, he goes, now we're at the point where it's like we can look back and we can see the bottle bobbing in the ocean. Like we know it's part of our story, but it's not slapping up against the boat anymore because, you know, we've worked together to row away from that spot. Right. But they both had to do effort because if it was just him trying to fix it, if you've ever been in a boat where only one person is rowing on one side, you just go in circles. It took both of them rowing together, both of them working together on their marriage to get past the infidelity. It took him being willing to hear her pain and be willing to put the safeguards in place that she needed to feel safe. It took her getting past the point where she was checking his email all the time and checking the iPad and checking the phone records and you know, seeing that, okay, if I tell you I'm going to be late and this is where I'm going to be, pull up my iPhone, you know, find my iPhone or whatever it is, all the different apps for location. And he would be right where he said he was going to be, mm-hmm. right? He had to start stringing together so much truth that she could breathe again and start to relax. And so that's how you start to get past it. And there's more steps than that, but you know, in the interest of time, I'm not going to go into the whole, but you know, for those of you that haven't seen that program, I would definitely recommend it. If broken trust has been an issue in your marriage.
And you can, I'll just put a link here and you guys can check it out. But that's definitely it. And, you know, one thing I always talk to guys about is while that's bright and shiny there, yet you haven't done anything to do, make anything better in your own life. You haven't done anything to really work, you know, be able to sit down and water your own grass. And so I always look at them and say, hey, you know what? You need to really, really, really think this through because, you know, just jumping ship doesn't mean it's going to be bright and shiny in a month, 2 months, 3 months. You know, the grass isn't always greener over there. It might be fresh and new and now, and yet, you know,
could just be artificial turf.
Right. You know, and I've had many of guys, you know, come to me and share with me that and, you know, realizing that, wow, you know what, when I got my head back on straight, when I was willing to, and I say men, because I typically, when it comes to infidelity and these things, Elise and I are very, very forthright in going, look, if you want to talk about that from a female perspective, please go talk to Elisa and I'll talk to the guys because we don't want to cross that line, you know, where
unless I'm coaching a couple,
unless you're coaching a couple. Yeah. Yes. You know, but that's, you know, I'm just talking about like, hey, I could be at a men's advance mm-hmm. or whatever and talking to guys. So,
and it's important to know that, one, if somebody is willing to get involved with a married person once, chances are good they'll be willing to get involved with a married person twice mm-hmm. or more. So what seems all like, oh, this person gets me and this kind of stuff, they probably know you're married and they don't care. So when you think about what that's going to look like long term, if they don't care that you're married, why would they care if you were in a relationship with them? Right. Yeah. And we've seen it happen time and time again. And it's why so many second and third and fourth marriages end up as second and third and fourth marriages, because the patterns of behavior don't change. Because if you don't work on what's going on in your own marriage, then the constant that you take with you is you. And it hasn't been fixed. It hasn't been made healthy. So why not get healthy where you're at? Mm-hmm. And make this marriage the best marriage ever, instead of being like, well, I think that just looks better over there, I'm going to go that way. Well, you're
those
still
are things that are just beyond the marriage. Those pulls are going to happen. And again, for you guys out there, and even for you wives, I mean, that Maximize Manhood book that I'm reading, which is, I mean, it was written in like 1981, mm-hmm. is absolutely a gold mine of information. I mean, we're talking, how old is that book? 25 years?
No, it's 35.
35 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's still a gold mine of just great truths in there that you're just going, wow. You know, what was going on in 81? Going on now. Mm-hmm. You know, he's talking about, hey, you know, just checking out because of the TV, you know, and I'm thinking, well, what's happened in 35 years? All right, well, now we have our computers and our phones. Okay, that's the way we check out. Or, you know, just talking about being able to be a prayer warrior for your spouse and why that's not happening. And, you know, it's just good stuff. So I would definitely pick that book up. I just really think it's a shift in the way we look at who we are, mm-hmm. and how we rise up, right? And to rebuild, you know, after infidelity takes a lot of those steps of just, like Elisa said, either side. Male, female, who left the marriage to engage in that activity, to go, okay, I'm not going to do it. It's going to, you know, I got to rebuild this. I got to continue. And yeah, you may feel like, oh, my spouse is just asking too much of me. You may feel that way, and yet you need to own up to your own situation, which is, you broke their trust. And so to regain that, if you cherish your spouse, if you, you know, respect your spouse and you truly want to be together with them, then sometimes we have to do the hard work because we screwed up. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to say, honestly. It's hard to say that we screwed up. You know, when I was looking at pornography for all those years, I didn't think it was a problem. I didn't think it was my problem until I realized that, you know what, I screwed up. And I had to be honest with myself. And that was not easy to do. It just wasn't. And so that's definitely something we have to be able to just stand for and saying, hey, you know what? I screwed up in this area. I'm sorry. Let me rebuild this. And we need to move forward, right? Mm-hmm. Use the tools that you guys have. Implement them. If you're the one who's there, come to your spouse and be like, okay, let's do this. Coffee break. You know, we talked about the coffee break couple of modules back now. You know, and that's something for Elisa and I that we just decided. It's like, we need to do this to stay connected throughout our day, to throughout our week. You know, what are we doing to make sure we're ensuring that we're getting this time together? Everybody always looks at us and go, oh, it's so wonderful you guys work together. Oh, it's just wonderful. You know, you spend all this time together. Yeah, spend all this time together. Believe me, it can sometimes, you know, wear on both of us, because it's about, you know, reaching more lives, reaching more marriages, impacting more lives. And we have to be able to take ourselves and step outside and go focus on us, mm-hmm. you know, what's important. And so that way, you know, what we share in here are things that we continuously put into practice at times in our lives and in our marriage, depending on where we're at, what we're doing. So
what other questions do you guys have? Because I know we're coming up towards the hour, and I want to make sure that if there's anything left in the material, that we get those questions answered for you. So drop them in the chat. I didn't look to see if we had anything in the questions. Is there anything in the questions?
Oh.
No.
No. Okay.
So any last questions, comments? We need help in this area, anything like that? You're welcome, Austin.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Totally, totally appreciate that, man. We're glad. And the Facebook group still there. It's not going anywhere. You won't hear from us when we're in Peru, obviously. We will be doing a massive digital fast. It's time to get away and celebrate some years together.
I was wondering if somebody was going to ask Tony that question when he brought it up.
Did you put the agenda up in the notes? I haven't gone back and looked. No, not yet, because we shot a video.
And it wasn't good. The lighting wasn't good.
It was horrible. So that definitely will get done before we get out of here to Peru.
We'll make sure to post in Facebook and on email and stuff that
when we get that.
That's up.
Appreciate it. We're so good. Yeah. You guys have been awesome. Yeah. You're welcome, Barry and Lana. Yeah. It was one of those things where I was looking at the video and I was just, did not like it one bit. So I don't want to put that up there. You know, one of those where it's just like, resources for digging deeper when it comes to issues with in-laws.
Who's Boundaries by Cloud and Townsend is always a good book.
Yeah, that's a beefy book. And I think they actually even do a book. Yes, we'll miss you guys too on Tuesdays. We definitely are going to be missing you guys. We're going to have, believe me, we'll be doing more stuff like this because you guys have made it awesome. I think they did
Tony's looking up right now.
Right?
No.
Oh, no. Yeah. Boundaries. I think in marriage and dating with kids. Hold on. I think he'd get the Boundaries in Marriage book. Like they used to have just one book called Boundaries, and that's all it was.
Go back up to Boundaries in Marriage.
Boundaries in Marriage right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the one you want.
Yes.
So you want to get the Boundaries. Hold on.
He's just going to give you guys
the link. I'll just get you the link. So that's the one you want to get because it is. It's a complex issue. Okay, we have a couple of issues with lacking boundaries with the in-laws. Okay. Any interest in stepkids? Yeah. Cloud and Townsend, they are the foremost experts when it comes to boundaries, guardrails, whatever you want to call it. Those guys are it. I saw Henry Cloud at this last LeaderCast. So early in May, he was at LeaderCast. And that dude is absolutely brilliant. What he was bringing to the table, during his session at LeaderCast was mind-blowing. And I'd have to go through my notes, but I remember just watching and so many of the people around me were just like, oh my gosh, like this guy is just blowing it up. So they are by far the authorities in that. There's also a workbook that you can work through, mm-hmm. you know, if that's one of those things of just really, okay, how are we going to set this up and, you know, use the material here? How are we going to share this with the in-laws, you know?
And keep in mind, parental types can be a little slower mm-hmm. to come around. And so it might be one of those things where it's going to take multiple times of having conversation. Again, it's not going to be a light switch thing. You're not just going to be like, hey, we want to have a conversation and, you know, it's going to be magically all better. You know, as you work through this material and say, okay, these are the boundaries that we're going to put around our marriage. And again, I think I can't remember which module we said it in. I know we said it somewhere. If they're your parents, you take the lead.
Yeah.
Right? Because if I've got an issue with Tony's parents or, you know, vice versa, like I need to get him involved in the process, right? It's not me just going and being like, rah, rah, rah. Doesn't work so well. You know, and vice versa. If there's something going on in our marriage that his parents are trying to butt into, then it becomes Tony going to his parents and saying, hey, look, you're my parents. She's my wife. This is my family right now. This is my priority. Love you. Respect you. This is my number one, right? And you may have to role play that a few times before you go and do it with your parents. You may have to role play mm-hmm. it with other people, not with your spouse. And, you know, it's doing all of that so that this way you go in and you're standing up for your marriage. I mean, all the stuff that we've done in Rescue My Marriage Day has been about equipping and empowering you guys to have the extraordinary marriage that you desire. And that means that there are going to be times when you have to do hard stuff, right? You know, it's like you both have had more than your fair share of hardships.
Yes.
We just like to think of them as life experiences.
They are.
You keep growing. Because any one of them, I mean, I tell people this all the time. I mean, any one of the, like, the big things that we'd faced could have been a reason for Tony and I to get divorced, right? I mean, you hear people all the time like, oh, well, that's not working. You know, we had to short sale our house and I just said, forget it. I'm not doing this anymore. Rah! Finances. Or the pornography. Like, I'm not going to push through this. I'm getting out of here. You know, all of these different things and the family stuff and, you know, the kids and all this stuff. And yet, just like you'll see in that podcast that we're going to link to, the name of the podcast was called Temporary Wedding Vows.
Right.
And, you know, just bringing this full circle is that we made a decision on our wedding day. We didn't realize it then because we didn't understand fully the vows that we were taking. But those vows said at the end of them, as long as life shall last. And that didn't mean until it gets easy or until it's, you know, hard or anything like that. It meant as long as life shall last. Mm-hmm. So we had to learn these skills, and that's why we brought them all together in Rescue My Marriage today, so that, you know, those of you listening that haven't had to go through all these hardships are like, okay, let's just take all the good stuff and apply it so that we don't get to that place that Tony and Elisa did.
Right.
Right. We want you to say, and even if you're in a hard spot, like, how can we shorten that learning curve? Right? Because we want couples, I mean, we have a mission to impact 1 million marriages around the world. And we're going to keep saying that until we know we've at least hit 1,000,001. Right? But it's a matter of knowing that you guys are taking this information. I mean, like I saw Steve and Melissa said, thank you. We will definitely go through the course again and again.
Right.
That's what we want. When you guys hit a roadblock, go back to it. Make it extraordinary.
Yeah. All right, you guys. That's it. You guys did awesome. You guys did awesome. We love you guys. So this is it. And we are just so thankful for each and every one of you who've gone through this, taking your time, energy, resources to do it. And we definitely are here for you guys. Like Elisa said, if you need that one-on-one coaching, reach out. Don't wait. If there's one thing we can say, if this was the stepping stone, if this was the one that was just like, oh, all right, we're moving forward, but yet we're still like struggling. Don't wait. We hear from way too many therapists and counselors and have read many, many, many articles. Most couples will wait 6 years before they reach out for help. By that time, you better believe it's over. So don't wait. Don't sit around and go, oh, it might get better or it could get better. Sometimes Elisa can do one session with a couple and there is like breakthrough. There's boom, breakthrough. Action happens and they're on their way. So, you know, don't hesitate to do that. If it's with Elisa or somebody else, don't wait, because the longer you wait, the tougher it can be. And there's no, and I want to just say that there's nothing wrong with you guys going in, getting healing, talking about it. The greatest thing is that, you know, with Elise anyways, you don't have to tell anybody. You're on video. You're not going to an office. You're not driving anywhere in your town or what have you. You're just on video and you can just work through those things. So we love you guys. Please throw this in request. Yeah. Cool. Guys, great job. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, we will have a awesome time in Peru. Yes. Yep. Pray for us while we're there. We're going to be up in the highlands. We're going to be like 11,000 feet into the Andes and seeing Machu Picchu and all that. Can I pray us out? You know it. Let's do it. Let's do it. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these awesome couples, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just declare over each and every one of them an exchange of grace, Lord Jesus, an exchange of your will for, or their will for your will, Lord Jesus. Lord, I declare victory in any area that they're in right now, Lord Jesus. I am just so honored, Lord, to be around folks that truly just are just so, man, they're just so engrossed, they're so engaged with their marriage, Lord Jesus, that I just ask for an abundance, a blessing, an overflow on each and every one of them, Lord Jesus, right now, Lord, that they can see your vision for their lives, Lord, that they see your glory, Lord, that they can take off their masks, they can be vulnerable, they can let go of the past and look forward to what you have for them moving forward, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just ask that you watch over each and every one of them, that you just put your angels, just a legion of angels around each and every one of these couples, because I see them going out, no matter where they're at, touching other lives, touching people in their community that they never thought were possible. They're going to speak life. They're going to speak truth into somebody in the next week, Lord Jesus, that needs to know that somebody cares about them, that their marriage is important, that they can have that extraordinary marriage, Lord. And these are the voices. These are the people that are going to go out there, that are going to do that. And we're going to see a revolution, a change that's going to happen, that's going to sweep a nation, that's going to sweep a world, Lord. So I just lift up these mighty warriors to you, each and every one of them. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you guys. Peace out. We love you. And we'll catch you guys somewhere else soon.
Absolutely.
Right? All right. Love you guys.